Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Total Dudes with Sign Guy and Rex. Welcome to Total Dudes with Sign Guy and Rex. Welcome to Total Dudes with Sign Guy and Rex. It's time.
Welcome to Total Dudes with Sign Guy and Rex, the only show where two total dudes review one total diva show and delight the entire world. I am one half of those aforementioned dudes. I am the top hunk of pop punk, the brains behind America's favorite wrestling themes, Ramones core pop punk band, the Racer Ramones. I am Rex Razor Sharp. And joining me as always on this arduous journey of a nightmare is the host of Turnbuckle Turmoil, the host of the Sign of the Times, the host of Sign Guys Wrestling Show. He is the Kings Island of my Indiana beach, so fuck off with the corn. Along with the show, the genius, not only a Sign Guy. Sign Guy, how you doing, brother?
Well, I was doing okay until the phones just stopped working. Just stopped. Just didn't want to work.
What a tragedy.
It really was. They worked fine on Undisputed last night. And I'm like, okay, so everything's working now. Since we got everything changed over to the new place, everything should be fine, ready to go. And then nope. No dial tone. Nothing.
What did they change?
Well, they switched the signal from my old place to my new place.
Oh, so you mean your actual phone wasn't working, not Blog Talk.
Right, right.
Hmm.
Yeah.
You have an actual phone line?
3 minutes. Yeah, we do. Yeah. Yeah.
Hmm.
3 minutes before the show, and the phone's like, nope, not so much. Not so much on the working tonight. I said, come on, at least one of you. And they were like, nope. Both of us, just not going to work.
Hmm. What, who is this service provided by?
It's provided by Xfinity.
Oh, fucking Comcast.
Yeah, they had everything set up. They said, just plug and play, man. Plug and play. So I said, that sounds easy enough. And then
they're the goddamn worst.
Plug and play meant you have to call a number and have them authenticate before anything will work, except for your cable. You'll just be logged into a sense of security that will be false.
Plug and play. Plug and play.
Not so much on the plugging and playing. And they told me 24 to 48 hours on the phone. And then when I called yesterday to get the internet set up, they're like, should we activate your telephone now? I said, it doesn't take 24 to 48 hours. And they said, no, we'll activate it now. It worked yesterday.
Fascinating stuff. Fascinating.
I hear crickets.
Oh, wait, I got to hit the button for that. How can you hear me before I actually hit the button that will play
the cricket
sound?
Ow. Hit the Ox Harley button.
All right.
I tell you, one of my favorite moments is me and my little brother and Jerry Wilson, we went down to TNA at Nashville, and we got in there, and I just happened to be in the bathroom, using the bathroom, and I was talking to Chase Stevens, which I'd known him when he first started wrestling there as Glacius, you know, I helped him get a start, and I was talking to him, and all of a sudden this voice, it comes out of the shitter.
Now, which bathroom do you think Ox Harley identifies with?
Whichever one that is around when he's got to go. I imagine it's a pretty urgent need when he's got to go.
Oh, Ox. What other fun buttons do you have you can push? Well, this show's just a tragedy. We might
could hit something along the lines I still have it. Yeah, I could hit this.
Today we play Great Moments in Opera. Okay, cute Devo. In 1710, Agrippina by Handel. This was Handel's last opera that he composed.
What was that?
I'm not really sure. The founder of Turnbuckle Turmoil threw that in there.
That was interesting.
It really was.
Find another one. This is a fun game.
Is it really a game?
It's a whimsical delight, so it's near a game. It's game adjacent.
All right. Let's see. Oh, I think I know just the thing.
This product sucks! The WWE sucks!
Was that Vince Russo?
Yes. I also have this.
That was Game Hen?
That was a turkey.
No, that was a Game Hen.
It's a real sound bite that's not musically enhanced.
Dummy, yeah. We should get the dummy yeah button.
Go out to speak to Beast Barnett on that.
Beast, get us the dummy yeah. I'm wearing a shirt, a special shirt tonight, fine guy. It's a shirt straight from the baby mama Rosa Mendez's baby daddy's shirt line.
How could you do that when you swore on this very program you would never spend one penny of your hard-earned money to fund that man and his shirt company?
Well, they made fun of churches burning, so.
So what you're saying is you lied.
No, I stretched the truth sometimes.
You stretched it into a lie.
No, I stretched it out. I said, okay, here's the central truth. Just stretch it out. Let's see how stretched it'll get. If it broke, then it would be a lie.
You stretched it into a complete lie. Because it was the opposite of what you proclaimed.
Because it was the truth. It was just stretched out.
That'd be like if Kevin Owens was to put on Hornswoggle's ring jacket. He'd be like, it's just stretched. It's not ruined. It's just stretched.
Because he's fat.
Yeah, he really is.
He's fat.
I'm concerned for his blood sugar because he looks like he might be, you know, starting to get pre-diabetic.
What do you think his favorite sugary treat is when his blood sugar gets low?
I don't think it's for when his blood sugar gets low. I think it's just whenever he feels like eating it. And I'm going to guess his favorite sugary treat would be mint ice cream.
Hmm. Well, you also thought you would like the lemon mint chicken.
I really did, yes.
We never got that confirmed either, so I would imagine we won't get this one confirmed either.
Kind of sad.
I'm looking at him. I'm thinking he's more of a Tootsie Roll kind of fellow. I think he just eats handfuls of Tootsie Roll. Handfuls of them. With paper and all, just Tootsie Rolls.
I see.
How many Tootsie Rolls do you think Kevin Owens could eat? Like the little typical ones, you know, not the mini ones, not the larger sized ones, just the
couple dozen in a single sitting.
24. I think he could kill way more than that. 24 is not many, really. He's a big fella. He probably gets 24.
I think he would limit himself to 24.
You think he has that sort of self-control?
Yeah. I think once he hits 24, he's like, okay, I'm done for now. You know, wait 10 minutes, come back for another sitting.
I feel like we're body-shaming him. We need to be a little more body-positive. Say something good about his body.
It's not broken down to the point that he can't walk.
That's true. And I'll say it would make a good thing to hollow out and hide in if someone was looking for you.
Yeah.
Just crawl into his belly and hide from whomever, the auditors perhaps your creditors, perhaps a murderous person. Just hide in his belly. Hollowed out Kevin Owens' belly.
Right.
So what's the scuttlebutt around the water cooler?
Well, the scuttlebutt around the water cooler is that your wife, was actually prescribed 1,000 different drugs.
Pretty much.
That's a lot. I hope they don't interact with each other, because that's a lot of drugs to be keeping track of and seeing what the interactions might be to cause harmful side effects.
She may have also stretched the truth to some extent.
I doubt it.
I believe she prescribed 4 medications today.
That's way less than 1,000, and I'm pretty sure she would not stretch the truth like that.
You stretch! You stretch it. You know what I'm saying? I got the TNA on right now. For some reason, Matt Hardy exists.
Well, it's because he was born.
Yeah, but this version of Matt Hardy that exists, this version, I think, 3.0, it is assuredly not the one that was born. This one has this wacky hair, and he has, like, contacts in that makes his eyes all white, and he has this weird eye makeup on, and he's wearing the Wally the Wasp jacket. I don't know what's going on. This is really bizarre. Did you watch this?
I am not currently watching just now.
Well, how, did you watch? It was on last night.
Yeah, I wasn't able to watch it just yet. You know, Undisputed and getting Comcast's half-working equipment all figured.
Why can't you tell me what this is?
It's Matt Hardy.
Why is he Wally the Wasp now?
Well, maybe the booker decided, you know, they needed more alliteration with him, and that's why we'd sell merchandise.
They're just trying to sell all those unsold Willow umbrellas, aren't they?
I don't know, but there's one on my balcony right now.
You have one of those Willow umbrellas?
Well, Mr. Sun Guy does, and it's not little by any stretch of the imagination.
Oh, man. I don't like what Matt Hardy's doing, though. Matt Hardy was great, and his role was kind of this, you know, basically pseudo Ric Flair-esque character with his pseudo horseman, his baby, just being a pretentious dickhead. I don't like him being a weird goth fella.
Wouldn't it be more like Ric Flair meets Ricky Steamboat from 1989?
That's a good way to put it. I would say it's more like Ric Flair meets a complete tub of shit and then has a kid and then it's Matt Hardy. I mean, Ric Flair, he could be the Hardy's dad. We don't know.
Yeah, we do because we've met the Hardy's dad on numerous DVD releases.
We've met the person that their mother is married to. Sure.
They said it's his dad. I also read it in the book.
Their dad is a cuckold. He got cuckolded by Ric Flair. The Hardy Boy's dad got cuckolded by Ric Flair.
Wow.
Well, it's a fact. Print it.
So should I hit that music? Because we're eventually going to have to get into this.
Well, I don't want to. Okay. Take a segment of the show from the episode of Total Divas we watched. We transcribe said scene and we recreate it for you, the listener, at no additional cost. Tonight's scene is going to showcase the talent of Sign Guy as Daniel Bryan Danielson Bryan. And I shall be Brie Bella. And scene.
Sweet face, how are you feeling?
I'm feeling okay.
Oh! I just love hearing your voice. I wish I was there right now. Oh, I feel like a bad wife. I could really help.
One of those hugs. I like to
give you where I put your head on my chest and squeeze you really hard.
Oh, I miss you?
I miss you too. Holy.
I wish you were here.
Makes me sad.
At least my sister is here.
Yeah, you actually got to see the video she just sent me of you. It was precious.
No.
I love you too. Talk about room the best. And he's done us a lot. So that's good.
Yeah.
When I'm back, I'll be the best nurse ever.
You better be.
I will. I love you.
I love you.
Bye. And scene. Find out what was this.
This was a scene where Brie Bella was talking on the phone to her husband, wishing she was there to make his severe neck injury much worse by using her body as a wedge and squeezing on him as hard as she could until the neck injury was not repairable anymore. She wanted to seriously injure him and end his career because it wasn't enough that he was already hurt. But WWE sent Brie several hundred miles away from where Brian would be for his surgery just to ensure that she injured him no more.
Now, I feel like the WWE administration is aware that Brie Bella suffers from what we call Munchausen by proxy, which is where a mother, a wife, they will poison or harm their, you know, child or significant other in some way. So that person has to rely on them for help. They're that all that person has. And so I think she's the perfect example of this Munchausen syndrome. What do you think, Sonya?
It could be. Could be. But, yeah, I'm thinking Daniel Bryan extremely grateful his wife was nowhere near him because she wanted to cause him great bodily harm, and B, his sister is available to help prevent Brie from attacking him if she skipped out on this media appearance and showed up at the hospital. That's something she would do, shove the doctor out of the way and say, no, I'm going to perform the surgery now.
Now, while we're here, let's just stay here. Brie Bella was the fucking worst person on this episode. I'm sure you agree with this, correct?
Yeah, I had her at my number one.
Yeah, there was no Natty around really to take the reins from this. Brie was unbelievably bad this episode. Not just to her husband, but to her sister as well. So she doubled up on her awfulness. It was pretty fascinating to just watch the complete horribleness of a human being unfold. So why don't you take us through a little bit? Well, no, let me just start it off. So this Yahoo claims that her husband has sexual intercourse with random people in exchange for wrestling gear, a claim, Sun Guy, that I don't think is at all validated by anything.
Then he flipped it over on her and said was going to have to perform several acts in order to get his kick pads because apparently he knew he was done. He's like, I don't need kick pads anymore because I guess I'm done. I might as well get something out of it.
And what was that something?
some horrific moments with Brie Bella, apparently.
Some Brie puss. Remember, this is total puss, brother. But the best part of that was he told her that she was going to have sex with him for these kick pads he gives her. I mean, she says she counts how many they are. She says, ooh, six. Six chances for us to have a baby. And he just looks at her like, give me the fucking kick pads back. Oh, this poor man.
Yeah, I think he had lost the will to go on halfway through this episode.
Yeah. Between his own collapsing physical state plus his realization that he is married to Brie Bella now. Oof, can you imagine that back-to-back slapping the fucking dick that he got here? It's just sad. So what else about Brie, son? You gotta take us through some of it.
Well, her sister had changed her mind on this whole procedure she was doing with her eggs.
Mm-hmm.
And Brie just got livid. She was like, no, you're going to do this because it's my dream and you will fulfill my dream because no one will stop me from fulfilling my life dream. I don't care if it's not what you want out of life. You'll succumb to my will. And she just got just angry to the point of unreasonable control being completely obliterated. She was just beyond belief angry, and she was just spewing that anger towards her sister until she bent her sister's will to where she wanted it to be.
Stuff with her sister is pretty interesting because Brie Bella, first off, she makes fun of her sister's breasts again, as she's always wanted to do. Oh, what's it feel like to feel something real for a change? Me. Fuck you, you idiot. And then, almost immediately after that, she calls John Cena selfish. Brie fucking Bella. Of all people, the state of this fucking idiot to call someone else selfish. Nikki and John make a decision for their relationship. And she calls John selfish for that. And this is where it reaches its apex of just Brie narcissistic horribleness, because Brie, in the middle of this conversation with her sister, she says to Nikki, God, we're sitting across from you right now. What would you tell him you want? Sign guy, who is sitting across from Nikki right now?
Well, at the time, it was just Brie.
Yeah. This fucking person is now saying that she's comparing herself to fucking God. She's like, all right, so Nikki, I know God can't be here right now to take this question from you, but since I'm here, I will fill in for God because I'm the next best fucking thing you're ever going to see. Ya piece of shit. Ya piece of trash. Why don't you take your fucking fake tits and throw them in a goddamn dumpster, and then you tell me your fucking new God what you want. And I didn't like it.
Complaining John Cena is selfish because he did not help make Brie's dream realized against her sister's will. He wanted John Cena to say, no, this is not what Brie wants with her life, so
yeah.
I have to impregnate you at the exact same instant that she becomes impregnated. Not a second before, not a second after, at the same exact time, because it's what Brie wants, and to do anything other than that is completely selfish. That was her mindset.
Yeah. Anything else you want to say about her and the Cena and Nikki stuff, or do you want to move on to her and Daniel?
Well, yeah, I'm ready for what she did to poor Brian.
Well, big reveal at the start of this show is that they've bought their new house and they're moving in. They're moving up in the world. They're getting it into this new place. And the second they get in there, well, before they can even get in there, she starts talking about buying her own home and being a new homeowner and just basically being disrespectful to Daniel Bryan, who feels, you know, he might have a little something to do with her owning a fucking new home, maybe. Do you think he had some rights to the house there, sign guy?
When he signed the papers, he was led to believe so, but the second he signed off, in reality, nope, it was all Breeze. He had nothing to do with it because she doesn't really care if he lives or dies. She only cares about her dream being realized. It wouldn't matter to Bree if someone else got her impregnated at the same exact time that Nikki and Lauren got impregnated, as long as it happened. She doesn't care if it's like the mailman or the butcher or the guy
or
that takes
JJ.
The trash out at the arena. It was just
or JJ.
Her dream has or J. Well, no, because JJ has to impregnate Lauren at the same exact time, so he's busy. That's why she needs Brian.
Listen,
because
there's ways
it,
to
it
make
was
it happen.
It was established.
Turkey
it was
basters, sign guy. Turkey basters.
She wasn't taking chances because she established
this
last
one,
week it had to be all done at the
wait,
same
pause,
exact
pause,
time.
Pause. This is an important question. Which one of the three, Lauren, Brie, or Nikki, well, which two would get the turkey basters and which one would get the real thing?
Nope, all three would have to get a real thing because Brie's not taking chances with this. Has to be done
so
exactly
gonna get the real,
according to her plan.
Brie's going to get the dingling.
More than likely because it's got to be at the exact same moment. She established that last week.
How is she going to be certain that three men are going to finish inside of these three women at the exact same moment? How is she going to control this, do you think?
Because she's Brie Bella and she will just say now and then it will be done.
And that'll make them shoot their fucking ropey streams of jism into these horrible women?
In Brie logic, yes.
I kind of want to see this.
Because they'll be just lined up in a row on a great big queen-size mattress. She'll say, now. And she'll say, okay, off of here. And then she'll be like, okay, we'll call you men in 9 months when we're ready for you to appear in the delivery room so we look like a legitimate family, but really you have nothing to do with this.
Is this the first episode of Total Bellas?
It could be.
That's disgusting.
It could be.
So, beyond the oozy coozes of these broads, what? As soon as they get in the house, tell us about Bree's behaviors here.
Well, Bree makes it clear she has no concern at all for the environment or being green. It's all a front. And when she got her dream home, all that went out the window. She's like, yeah, that hippie stuff is fine for certain people, but when it comes to my dream home, which is all mine and mine alone, and you'll be lucky if I let you visit on occasion, we're throwing the hippie stuff out and we're making it as fashionable and as stylish as humanly possible, no matter what the cost is. If it costs you every cent you've ever made in your entire life, that is fine.
Yeah, she does not care about Daniel's opinions. She does not care what he wants to do to the home. she does not. And one thing I noticed he didn't want to do to the home was he just didn't really care about what the shower was. And you could tell that if you looked at him. He was fucking looking greasy. But I don't think this is being unreasonable that I want to change every single square foot of my brand new home the fucking split second we walk into it. There's nothing unreasonable about this. Is there? Yeah, unreasonable fun guy.
Yeah, I think, you know, Brian was probably thinking to himself, she really got the wool over my eyes here, because clearly she doesn't care about the environment, because everything I mentioned that would have made this house entirely environmental friendly, she's like, don't care, don't want it in my home, won't have it. Got to have the latest trend stuff, and as soon as it's not trendy in like a day, I'm going to wreck sharp my opinion and want the opposite, and you're going to pay for it. And he's going to be like, you mean the guy that took me to Taco? And she goes, whoa, pause it. Whoa, pause it. And he'll say, but aren't you talking about Rex Sharp, the guy that once took me to Taco? And she'll be like, whoa, pause it. Whoa. And that'll go on for a good hour.
I did like that Daniel Bryan specifically.
Oh, sorry. It's forced to happen.
When he did the I Heart You, just right at me, I appreciated it.
Yeah, I think he was on so much painkillers and morphine at that point, he didn't know what he was doing.
No, he was fucking really gimmicked up in that last thing that we saw of him. Not the last one, the one right after the surgery. And she was like, you're cute. And he was, I guess I'm jumping ahead. He was my favorite for the week.
You've already skipped ahead to your favorites.
Well, we're just right here, and we've already talked about most of the things I liked about him. So let's talk about the other one. He told her that she smelled like shit. he said that she smelled like poop. No, she needed to go wash her ass because it smelled like poop.
He was gimmicked up as fuck, and he told her that she smelled like an old wet turd.
Wow.
And then there was the thing where she was like, oh, I'll give you a massage, and then you can give me a massage. And then, which, of course, she would want, you know, her husband with the neck surgery, a foot, still has to do stuff for her. But he says the kind of massage I give you isn't gonna help your neck. I mean, I guess he's gonna like massage her biceps or something, right?
No, I was thinking feet.
A nice foot massage. The lower back massage even.
Anything else about Bree or Daniel that we've not brought up?
That might have been her very worst.
It really might be. It was unbelievably bad. Well, who else did you hate?
Well, number two on my list was Trinity.
All right, go ahead.
Now, Trinity was called into a meeting with Mark Carano along with Arion, and he says, well, you know, we're going to make a change effective immediately. Trinity's going to be kind of a single star here. Arion will ballet for her because Trinity is just farther along at this point as far as entering things and the athletic skill level. And Trinity's like, all right. She hesitated with John, and she said, yeah, I don't want to leave Arion behind, but you know, I want to get the title and this and that. John's like, oh, no, you can't be the champion if you're in a tag team and having the belts where it's at. That's where you'll get paid the most. And she's like, yeah, I just don't want to leave Arion. And then Arion decided she wanted to go back to NXT to get proper training because she was called up so insanely fast that she was never properly trained. So she's like, well, if I train, I'll be more valuable to Trinity because we'll be able to tag team again. Mm-hmm. And when she told a group of people that, Trinity just flipped out.
Babe, she was like,
Babe,
they called you up, babe.
And Trinity took Ariane aside, and she wrecked Sharpter every time Ariane tried to explain why she wanted to go to NXT to better herself. Trinity just cut her off. Whoa, pause. She's like, let me ask you a question so I can cut you off again. And that went on for several minutes with Ariane trying to explain, and Trinity just wrecked sharping her over and over and over again. She's like, answer this question. Cut her off, and she's like, why didn't you answer my question? She might as well have taken Brian to Taco Bell. She may have
as
played drums with Alomar. I don't know, but she was just going along yelling at Ariane for wanting to better herself, wanting to be more valuable to the company, try to improve. Trinity, I think, in her head was like, I don't mind Ariane as long as she's worse than I am and has no shot at ever getting to the title, because that improves my shot at getting the title, even though at that point in time, she wasn't even going to get title matches, let alone a shot at legitimately holding the title. Wasn't any possible way at that point in time when the Funkadactyls first split off, Trinity was ever, ever in line for a title run.
She needs to take who is it? Eva Marie out on the road if she wants to get those title shots.
Yeah, she wasn't ever going to get that title, but there she was telling Ariane, if I get the title and I go on this big run, it benefits you. Valet's not going to get anywhere close to what someone getting a big singles push would be, and if Ariane got a whole lot better, if she got trained properly, improved her in-ring skill, and she got a decent run, maybe against Trinity, she'd be right there, you know, same level with Trinity. But no, Trinity's like, no, you got to stay way down here and do not improve. You just stand there with your pom-poms like you're 2003 Cameron Starr, and you just keep your mouth shut. Don't try to improve, because if you look better, I look worse.
My TV crazy right now. Mike Bennett is wrestling a certain wrestling Hall of Famer. Whom do you think he is wrestling right now?
Me.
Nope. It is not you.
Rob Conway.
Nope, this guy's in the TNA Hall of Fame, in fact.
Earl Hebner.
It is Earl Hebner. He's wrestling Earl Hebner. And Earl Hebner just ripped his goddamn rep shirt off and threw it at Maria in the most disgusting thing I've seen in years.
I see.
All right, well, let's move along. The Trinity.
So what you're saying is Trinity. Whoa, pause it. I got an important question here. You're saying Trinity was responsible for this match.
Maybe.
All right, as long as we're clear.
I don't know. Who's responsible for any match in TNA?
Apparently Trinity.
Now, we could discuss, speaking of injections, there's EC3. So let's talk about John Cena. He made my list of hated. I hated John Cena this episode.
I have him at my number one liked.
No. How?
Yes, I do. It's written right down here.
Well, listen, I'm going to explain it to you why. This fucking nitwit. It just occurred to me that I may lose you one day. It just fucking occurred to you? You've had how many goddamn episodes of this show devoted to the fact that Nikki wants to be married and have children and it may split you apart, and this just occurred to you? You made her sign a fucking piece of paper because she may leave you one day, and it just occurred to you? Where the fuck have you been, you goddamn robot idiot? Fucking what? And then his great, what's it yourself with something like this? And I just died laughing. I mean, I guess
you did not, because you're
still
alive.
I died laughing and then was reanimated. You didn't let me finish.
Or
my heart.
I Rick-sharped you?
Yeah, you didn't let me finish. I died laughing. They hooked up the AED machine to me. It started looking for those vibrations in my heart. My heart said, oh, I just had too much laughter at John Cena pretending he'd never done fucking steroids before. That's all. And then it restarted my heart. Yeah, John Cena pretending he's never done steroids was great. Why didn't he just say nothing? Why did they even have to, like, they went out of their way to make him reference these fucking syringes and needles. And it made it seem even more fucking preposterous. That guy is fucking, he comes back from injuries in like 2 months. Ugh. Why'd you like this fucking guy?
Well, when we resume. When we resume the episode from last week.
Yes.
He's mildly livid because he thinks Nikki brought in a bunch of heroin or something. He's like, what's all this? And when she explains, he doesn't flip out. He doesn't throw her out of the house and say, look, I've got a signed document. You got to leave and have all your stuff out. He keeps his calm, lets his emotions settle down, and then he thinks things through logically. And he's like, well, I guess that sort of makes sense, and I bet Bree's behind this, so I can't get too angry at Nikki. And then when Nikki says, if you don't want me to go through with this procedure, I'll stop. And John's like, great, let's stop. She's like, okay. And then when Bree says, no, you will resume it now, and she has to go through with it, John doesn't say, well, I guess she listens to Bree over me, so, you know, who knows what kind of crazy ride this will be. Who knows how many millions of dollars I'll lose on this fraud because Bree orders her to do things and she has to obey, and I've got no say in the matter. He keeps his cool and he's like, well, even though I'm totally against this and you don't care about my position on it, I'll still take care of you. I will take days off of work, go off the tour, and I'll take care of you in my home, which you made me buy.
Maid outfit.
Yeah. Yep, he's going to wear a chauffeur's outfit to start and then change into a maid's outfit.
Yeah.
And that's just, that was just gold. I would love to see John Cena rocking that maid outfit in an episode.
I would too.
Can you imagine the great scene we would get of John Cena in that maid outfit? And Nikki laying there, drugged up from the pain medicine, saying, you missed a spot, and spreading her legs, and John eyeing her with that feather duster.
Oh, so good. I support it. I hope it happens. Yeah, I didn't like him pretending as if this was the first time he had ever seen a syringe in his home. Though I guess it's possible they just keep those at his gym or wherever. Or he goes to a specialist for his, testosterone replacement therapy that he needs, of course. And it's also possible that he just uses an oral cycle of some sort. In addition to whatever he gets at the doctor's office, I'm not sure what exact cycle he uses. But I find it fucking possible to believe that that cycle doesn't involve him shooting his ass up. Impossible. The Androstene ass bitch. Yeah. What do you think?
What do you think? If they would have done a whole episode just on him being in the maid's outfit, it might have been the greatest episode of all time. Imagine if he gets a call from Mark Carano, and Carano's like, I'm down the street. I've got to come over and bring you some contracts to sign. It's important. John Cena says, oh, okay, Mark. And he forgets he's in the maid outfit, so Carano comes in. He's like, John, what's going on here? A lot of people got pictures and put them on Instagram. Are you in a maid's outfit? What would the people say? It could hurt our ratings. And John is like, I forgot all about this, Mark, but who's going to take our picture? And then Nikki would take a picture, post it on her Instagram, and just keep walking. She'd be on severe pain medication and wouldn't know any difference. And John seemed to be like, did you post a picture of me in this maid's outfit on Instagram? And Nikki would be like, Bree said I had to or she'd kill me. And he'd be like, oh, okay. Well, that's fine then.
Oh, my. John Cena. Well, was there someone else you disliked?
Eva Marie.
All right. Not in it much, but go ahead.
She wasn't in it much, which normally helps, but the part she was in it, she continued through the entire season 3 storyline. She had to convert Jonathan. They go to lunch. It's Natty, Eva Marie, and Nikki Bella. And Nikki's telling them, oh, yeah, John caught me with all my needles and my drugs for my egg freezing. He doesn't want me to do it. He's all mad. And Eva Marie says, I can understand why he was mad because basically I'm making Jonathan convert to Catholicism against his will, whether he likes it or not. Isn't that funny? It's almost the same exact thing. And then they laughed. Mm. Why does she have to go around telling everyone she sees, regardless of the situation, she's forcing her husband to switch to the Catholic religion for one day to trick her father into thinking her husband is Catholic when he clearly is not?
He's a Methodist, right?
Pause. Now, do you think that Eva Marie thinks that Freddie Barry Nelson has cancer so bad, apparently, in his brain that he will think Jonathan actually converted to the Catholic religion of his own free will because he had, like, a change of religious views, and now he wants to have this Catholic ceremony, and she thinks she'll get away with it? Is that what you think that Eva Marie thinks?
Yes.
Now, wouldn't it be more logical to presume that Jonathan will either, A, go to all these classes, which takes a year before you're converted because you have to go through all these classes,
mm-hmm.
like tests and so forth, and pass all these tests before they allow you to officially convert. And then the next week when he sees Jonathan, Jonathan's like, oh, yeah, I switched back. Oops, changed my mind. And Freddie won't see that coming. Or Jonathan would just say, oh, yeah, I'm Catholic. And he'll be like, oh, okay, let's have the ceremony. And then the Catholic Church won't bother to check. They'll just say, oh, he must be Catholic. We won't check out the credentials. We won't. Like, ask them which church they belong to. We won't ask to see the papers that he converted. Mm. We'll just have the big formal Catholic wedding without checking anything out at all because we're stupid, apparently. Do you think that might be what was actually going to happen?
I think what is more likely is they'll just settle on a wedding. and we'll see that Jonathan has a tux with no sleeves. There's no way he doesn't wear a tux with no sleeves, right? That's a fact. That has to happen, right?
I don't think he'll wear a shirt. I think he'll just go up there bare chested. He'll be like, well, it's our wedding and our day, so I don't see why everyone's upset that I'm half naked up here. Like, I respect the fact that we're in front of a bunch of young girls and I'm half naked getting married, but it's all about us today. So I can be half naked if I want, and so can Eva Marie. If she wants to wear a see-through teddy to her wedding in front of her grandparents,
that says butt whore.
You have to respect
back.
It. Yeah.
Oh, Eva Marie. All right, so people
that,
like
that whole storyline just makes me livid. Make me livid the first time I lived through it. Makes me livid now, especially now because I know how it ends.
Exactly, I know, right? Ugh. Let's talk about who we liked. My absolute favorite this week, Banker's Life Fieldhouse. The most beautiful building in all of professional basketball. The greatest arena on the face of this earth. Beautiful seeing it. Beautiful.
So, wait, is your favorite the Bankers Life Fieldhouse or is your favorite the arena there in Boston? You're confusing me.
There's no arena in Boston that even compares to Bankers Life Fieldhouse. What are you talking about?
That's true. It's so superior that there's not any real serious competition there. I agree
they
with
still
you.
Have, they still fucking light that place by fucking candles. That place is a dump. Give me a break.
But yet
we're
it's your favorite arena.
Modern,
I heard you say it.
We're talking about a modern professional basketball arena that combines all the whims a man could want of the modern world, feelings of the previous generation's facilities. It's just like Hinkle Fieldhouse, but better. And Hinkle Fieldhouse is Hoosiers. That's Indiana. That's everything. In basketball, you know what
they're
doing.
Yeah, they don't have hockey there, do they?
In 49 other states, it's just basketball. But this is Indiana.
So what you're saying is it's just a matter of time before the NBA shuts them down and moves the team because they don't have hockey accessibility in their arena.
They have hockey accessibility in their arena. They played many hockey games in it. I believe the, what are they called? The Ice were playing there.
I'm talking like professional hockey, not like grade 13 hockey where kids 17 years old go and slap the puck around. I'm talking real hockey. It's why, in part, there is no NBA team in Seattle.
Yeah, there's two professional hockey teams in Indianapolis, the Ice and the Fuel. They are both professional hockey teams.
I'm talking the NHL because the NBA cares
you
with the
NHL.
They're buddy
said
pals.
Professional hockey teams. You never said that. You said professional hockey teams, and there are two. The Indianapolis Ice, the Indiana Fuel. The
go
Ice.
To City Hall and you make that speech, and the NBA commissioner will laugh at you. They'll say, ha, ha, ha,
what?
Nice try. Maybe you would like to go to Tampa Bay to see these Pacers play, because that's where I'm moving them.
Tampa Bay?
Yeah, why not? They have a great NHL arena. It'll happen.
Now,
it happened in Seattle.
Who is your favorite member to ever play for the Indianapolis Ice?
Manute Bol. Did you ever see that game?
Nope.
Manute Bol played, I believe, 3 minutes on the ice as a professional hockey player for the Indianapolis Ice. did it as a charity publicity stunt.
No, I did not see that. That's interesting, though.
Yeah, it actually injured him because the skates were so tight that it injured his feet, but it was some sort of charity he was working with, sponsored it, so he took all of his pay, gave it over to the charity.
It looks like the two longest-running players in the NHL from the ice are John Carlson of the Washington Capitals and Torrey Krug of the Boston Bruins. Have you heard of either?
Yes. Especially Krug.
Oh, because he's from... no, he's from Massachusetts, isn't he? I thought he was from up that way.
Well, he's fairly famous.
Well, he was an Iceman. And let's look at the Indy Fuel. I don't know much about that team. I think it's a farm team for the Blackhawks. We're getting, this is crazy though today. We're getting in total puss and total puck. And if we talk about my known Rayum's puss, we can combine the two.
Yeah.
What do you think it looked like? What do you think it looked like?
No, I'm not sure.
Yep, they're affiliated with the Blackhawks. The Fuel are, though they play at the Pepsi Coliseum.
That's where Dick the Bruiser used to run.
Mm-hmm.
Also Current WCW. Boston.
Also, Green Day. Green Day played there. Also Ring of Honor did, but they run the smaller building now. One of the other Indiana farmers buildings.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Who else did you like? Since we discussed how great Baker's White Fieldhouse is.
Number two, I had Mark Carano.
Yeah.
Now, Mark Carano called in Trinity and Arion, like we said. And he let him know, oh, yeah, we got plans for Trinity. There'd be a single star. Arion will be the valet for her because Trinity's quite a bit more progressed in the ring. That Arion will be out there. She's not going anywhere. It'll be fine. And then when Arion came to Mark Ferrano and gave him the speech that she wanted to return to NXT to be properly trained, try to get better, make herself more useful to the company. Carano, he didn't sugarcoat anything. He's like, well, this is kind of unprecedented because at the time that was unheard of. Now probably a lot of guys try to get back to NXT. But he's like, we can send you down there, but I cannot guarantee that you'll come back. He's like, you might be completely done as a diva. You might go down there, don't progress very much at all, and you'll just never get called again to be on the main roster. Like that's what
you'll
have to take. Yeah, and to a large degree. And he was up front, didn't sugarcoat it, didn't say, oh, well, I'll talk to Vince, and sure, you'll be back. Sure, yeah, everything will be fine. Didn't try to mislead her. He was just straight up, just said, we can do it if that's what you really want, but here's the risks, here's the rewards, laid it out, left the decision to her.
Yeah.
So who's your number two?
Pause. Yeah.
That's why I like Mark Carano. Okay, go ahead.
Miss Sandra.
That was my number three.
Telling Rose to get her tits out of her face. And she just made like a fan about Rose's tits. That was great. That's it.
Now my number three was Miss Sandra. she misunderstood Rosa, because Rosa was like, how do you like my new pants, Miss Sandra? So Sandra's checking these out. In Miss Sandra's mind, she thought Rosa was asking, do you like these? You can have them. But Miss Sandra's like, yeah, I could probably rock those. She's thinking, yeah, I'll look good in those pants because you're going to take them off, give them to me, apparently. That's not what Rosa meant, but Miss Sandra in her mind was like, oh, she thinks I'll look really good in these skin-tight pants. I'll give it a shot.
If John Cena could rock the maid outfit and Sandra could rock those pants, we'd really have a hell of an episode.
It really would. Imagine if Miss Sandra came to has to make a hospital gown for Nikki while she recovers. Walks in, and there's John Cena in the maid outfit.
I can see your cookies, John. I don't have a cookie. She's like, you got a ding dong. You got the hellos and a ding dong hanging out of there, John. You got a cannoli and a couple of pieces of tiramisu just plopping out.
That'd be great if there was tiramisu.
Oh, I'd eat it. Tiramisu. Oh, good.
You know who would not eat tiramisu?
Who?
Keith Slater.
Why is that?
Because he doesn't eat dessert, brother.
Oh, I can't wait for the return of Swerve.
That's like saying, well, I can't wait for someone to stick an ice pick right through my left eye and keep twisting it hour upon hour upon hour until I die a horrible, miserable, painful death. Only it would
That's
be less painful if that happened.
That's a given. I do a weekly podcast about Total Divas with fucking Sign Guy. Of course, that's a given.
Now, have you put Camp WWE on your watch list?
It's on the list. I'm going to watch it. I might try to watch it tonight after NXT.
I believe the consensus among myself and Beast Barnett is that we're being punished for something by WWE. We aren't sure of what, but it's definitely a punishment. They're like, oh, yeah, well, here's your punishment.
I have a stupid, bad, idiot taste. It's going to be great. Who do you think's going to win Sunday, Sign Guy? Charlotte or Natty?
Baron Corbin. We already discussed this on the Undisputed Wrestling show last night. I say Baron Corbin because Dolph Ziggler is just going to be stuck there right at the level he's at for the rest of his days in the company.
Yeah, he is a fucking geek. That's right.
Although, I believe we have gotten confirmation you were a huge fan of Dolph Ziggler when he was in the Spirit Squad because you enjoy competitive cheerleading competitions. That is the scuttlebutt around many a water cooler and some tea dispensers.
It is a fact that I do not enjoy cheerleading.
Not the scuttlebutt around the water coolers and or tea dispensers.
I think you are stretching it out.
Nope. Not a bit.
Stretch.
Nope. I don't know. What's going on, though? What do you got going on? What's the haps?
Tomorrow, we're doing a Buddha special for the All-Star Pro Wrestling promotion. They're in Shelbyville once again. I believe this will be our third time with them. Friday on Sun Guys Wrestling Show, Dan Month continuing on with Daniel Eads out of Ohio Valley Wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
And then Sunday on Turnbuckle, B. we have Ray Lynn, whom I believe will be at the aforementioned All-Star Pro Wrestling show in Shelbyville the night before.
Anything else going on?
Yeah, that's pretty much it. Well, apparently I'll have to figure out these phones again.
Well, that's a pretty big weekend for you then, figuring out the phones.
It really is.
Let's see, I gotta do a sleep study Friday night. That'll be pretty cool.
Now, is this some sort of test that they give you? Do you have to, like, get, say, 80% right before they allow you to sleep?
I don't know. We will see. That'll be interesting.
Are you going to film it? Is that how I'm going to see this?
They probably will. I don't know how I'll get the tape from them, but I'll ask.
All right, because I wouldn't mind seeing you, like, zip through the answers in 10 seconds, say, boom, there you are, brother. And they're like,
yeah,
none of these
me...
answers are right. And you're like, don't care. Don't care that they're not right.
Going to
I'm just here for the beer. Like, I'm a teacher. I just drink beer. That's how I teach my kids how to, that's how I'm going to take the test. Hand me another
mm-hmm.
Miller Lite.
And then this weekend, we're heading over to the aforementioned King's Island.
Are you going to get
pretty
on the
weekend.
Witch's Cauldron?
No, that doesn't exist. Yeah, I'm sure it did at once in your youth, 40 years ago, but...
Anything else going on besides, you know, drinking beer at this sleep study? Because I'm sure you want to actually study, except for what's in that can.
Yeah, I don't study.
You're right.
And
why
nope,
are you going?
The doctor wants me to.
If the doctor wanted you to, like, impregnate Brie Bella at the same time that Lauren's impregnated, would you do it?
No.
Why? The doctor said to. He wants you to do it. Apparently you do what the doctor wants.
That would be proof that that doctor is no good. Just asking me to go, you know, hang out, take a nap. That's one thing. Asking me to go just unload unholy amounts of goo inside of the human personification of evil, I'll pass. You can write that down in your book, too. Quote me on it.
All right.
Well, that's where we'll wrap it up. Later, Total Dudes. Thank you.
Welcome to Total Dudes with Sign Guy and Rex. Welcome to Total Dudes with Sign Guy and Rex. Welcome to Total Dudes with Sign Guy and Rex. It's time.